podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
110. Welcome to well.
Stop.
Hold on.
We've got to give him a round of applause.
Round of applause for Junior, man.
Why is it not working?
I'm going to be real. Yeah. You started speaking and your mouth wasn't moving.
I know. And I was like, what's going on?
I was like, roll.
He pressed something on his phone. And I was like, huh? What just happened? Do we approve of this?
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I know that. Man went into.
I love it.
Yeah, like enthusiastic. Commentary mode.
This is not his house anymore, it's just a proper studio.
Yeah, so 110 guys.
Damn.
A rainy 110.
Mm-hmm.
How's it? How's everyone?
Listen, I'm good. I think it's been a good weekend of football, to be honest. Weekend of football. Chelsea lost, Arsenal battered. You love to see
I don't think you watched the game.
Let Tanya agenda with her agenda.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
No problem.
Are we making that a verb now?
I don't know. I don't know where that comes
agenda
from.
Agenda with her agenda, yeah. Anyway, continue. I'm great.
Okay. I bet you are. It was a perfect weekend for Spurs, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Other than obviously a couple of like West Ham, for example. But good weekend of football for us to cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't wait to get into it. Abdi, how are you?
I don't want to be here.
Abdi initially hasn't said a word.
I don't want to be here.
Oh, Didums. What happened?
It's because my team is... What do you mean what happened? My team is flipping...
I'm sorry, I can't.
All right, guys, have a good podcast. I'm going to go home now.
All right. Let's get into our spotlight game, which was London Derby, West Ham versus Chelsea at the London Stadium. Over to... Mr. Abdi, who said that it would be impossible.
I didn't say, no, you know
oh,
I didn't
not
say.
This again.
Did I not clarify last episode?
Hold on, wait. Let's before I have
no,
to.
I will literally bring up.
No. I will bring up what I said last week. I said it would be stupid of me to say impossible when I clarified last week. Did I not?
Okay, I forgot that you did that.
Oh, so it's all right, cool. So,
and then these like, you say something once, yeah, and these lot will hold it against you for the rest of your life.
You do the same thing.
Mark comes back in the room. Oh, okay. Abdi, impossible to score more than one goal.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, can I just say before we get this? Before we get into the analysis, yeah, you guys think me as the villain, yeah? This guy has been a menace this whole weekend.
They don't know who this guy
is. This guy is Mark, who. This guy, this punk, this scumbag has been a menace this whole weekend. And honestly, he has not let me rest one second, bruv. From Saturday 12:30 until the second I got here, bruv. He's been on my case.
You antagonize him constantly.
It doesn't matter. That's in the past. What I'm saying is this weekend. Can you not get your phones out of my face, man? Am I a celebrity, bruv? Nah.
All right, I'm dead. But let's get into the game, because obviously before we start to really drill in on Abdi's prediction of Chelsea keeping a clean sheet for the next three seasons every game, let's drill into the actual game, because aside from me agending my agenda, I'm making up these phrases as I go along.
Mm-hmm.
It was impressive from West Ham to actually, you know.
First team to score more than one goal against Chelsea this season.
First team to score more than one goal. We've covered that previously was apparently impossible, but they've done it. And they did it impressively.
If I punch him in the face, am I wrong?
Yes, there will be no violence on this podcast.
All right, you know what, Mark? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Can you get over it now, yeah?
I can. I just needed that live on air.
All right.
And we're good.
You know, it was interesting. Like, before we were talking about how good Chelsea's defence was, and we also talked about how good Mendy was, and it just seemed to be the game where all of that kind of just went wrong for them.
Yeah.
Mm. Mendy made a mistake.
The Mendy mistake,
I think, was more Jorginho.
But also you might say that he could have done better for the Masuaku goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it just all seemed like, in the second half especially, mm-hmm. West Ham were all over Chelsea's defence.
But I also think it was going to happen as well.
Yeah, it was, definitely.
You can't be perfect all season. Like, Mendy was going to have a stinker at some point, like all goalkeepers do. They were going to leak goals. So I think people need to chill a little bit. I've seen a lot of people being very reactionary on Twitter.
Yeah, no,
shocking.
No, you're right. I've seen some certain Liverpool fans, ones that are within in my vicinity right now, start calling out Mendy. Like, Alisson didn't throw one in his goal against West Ham.
What are you talking about?
Wait, you said, "Oh, Mendy, the best goalkeeper in the league." Yeah,
but he's not. But and I just had to. You made a very big statement on the podcast last week, and I wanted to just see what you were saying.
I said he's the best goalkeeper this season.
Right, cool.
Like Alisson didn't make
it.
You
know
what?
You
two
should have your own little segment. Like,
no, but I'm making
know,
a valid
already,
point.
I've already made.
Yeah, well, Alisson's error was.
It was an error. It says Alisson
him.
OG, bruv.
Of course. But let's look at the clean sheet table and then we'll chat.
Because that's how you win leagues in clean sheets.
Right. They say defence wins you titles, and I'm not even being sarcastic at
this,
at this point.
Who's they?
Just people in general, innit?
Cool. Enjoy.
No, but Tanj, you made a good point just a second ago about it not being sustainable. And I was meant to mention on the podcast last week, I completely forgot. Basically, a similar point to that, there was the Brentford game where they came away with a clean sheet and they could have conceded four on any other day. And there's a couple of other games this season where they got away with a couple. And I just didn't think it was sustainable. If we're going into serious mode now, that's why aside from all the banter, Abdi, that's why I was kind of questioning, because I just didn't think it was sustainable over a 38-game season for them to carry on as defensively strong as they have been, considering that they've been conceding biggest chances and Mendy's been bailing them out quite a lot. It just wasn't sustainable for me, and it all come to the fore against West Ham.
What do you lot make of the not playing Lukaku?
He still didn't play, did he?
He come on.
But
you know those pictures of him in Tim's? He come on and didn't do that meme any disservice.
Do you know what? If he carries on, I have to say, like, it's not been a good signing for them, has it?
He's been injured for a bit, but yeah, he's like, what, that's almost 10 games now without a goal?
Yeah, like, come on, we have to...
Actually, before we cover the game, let me just...
Mark's always prepared, you know.
I like to screenshot stuff that I see throughout the week, so that when I come here on a Tuesday, I've got stuff to say. But we've been very impressed with Chelsea's defence this season. We've covered them quite a lot. But attacking-wise, what are we saying?
Their defenders are the best strikers at the club.
Let me lay this out for you, right? So 23, this is factual as of right now. So until they play their next game, I think they got Leeds on the weekend. This is factual as of right now. So 23 of Chelsea's 35 goals in the league this season have come against teams in the bottom half of the table.
Wow.
They've played City, Liverpool, United, West Ham, haven't won a single one of those four games. So, a question for Abdi.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still see them as that impressive team who, let's just say a month ago, maybe you said they are my favourites for the title. Is that still the same for you?
Yeah, I do. I just think, obviously, this West. Let's not forget, West Ham are a good team, innit?
Yeah,
and,
that's another thing.
We also, like, if we've... There's some context as well. Like, Man United just were coming off almost like they just won a game. They like saw almost like a new manager bounce under Carrick when they drew Man United. So Man United were in just some better form, you know, like a little bit more confidence as well. And obviously Man United capitalized through a mistake. And West Ham are a good side. They drew against Liverpool when they were down to 10 men, and they only lost to Man City.
Listen, I wasn't using that. Sorry to cut in. I wasn't even using that as a means to question how good Chelsea are, because they're a very good football team. Mm-hmm. But those four teams that I mentioned, Liverpool, West Ham, United, they haven't picked up 3 points against either of those teams. And like I said, the goals scored, only 12 of their goals out of 33 or whatever it is, have come against top half teams in the league this season.
But it's crazy though, when you look at the squad that they have, like, what really is the excuse?
Chelsea got a lot of injuries though.
But also, what we said as well, like a few,
Sean Dyche.
What we said a few weeks ago was that the race for the title is going to be decided between the teams.
Yeah, those three.
So if they're not picking up points against Man City or Liverpool, that's where they're going
to
fall.
And fair play, Liverpool wasn't I'm not even going to attempt to get that word out.
Anomaly.
Anomaly, thank you, Tanya, because they were down to 10 men for half the game. But it's still there on paper. They haven't beat one of those four teams. And as impressive as they are, if they want to win the league this season, you've got to remember they haven't won the league in, God knows how long is it, Conte, last time they won the league?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think, yeah, with Chelsea is that what I've seen from Tuchel until now is that he's the guy who's able to adapt to any style the most in just a short amount of time. Whereas like someone like Klopp, same style, but they'll just kill you. And same Guardiola. I think Klopp and Guardiola stick to their style. Their style is just that we're better than you. And
no, but Chelsea's style is it's a very rigid. It's three central defenders, two wing backs who push higher.
Mm-hmm.
They set up the same.
No, I think what you're saying, like, tactically like he can adapt. But I think you're doing a disservice against Klopp. I think Klopp is very good tactically.
Yeah, but
and
Liverpool are not scared of anyone though.
Being scared of anyone. Mm. It's like adapting for the opposition that you're playing. So I think Liverpool will set up in different ways, not necessarily in different formations, but they'll set traps in different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll set like different players who will trigger something in different ways. So in that sense, he doesn't have to change his formation or his tactics.
I'm just thinking about
he just changes certain parts.
Yeah,
of
that's
the
true. That's true. That's true. I mean, but what I'm talking about is that what I'm thinking about is that Tuchel last year, this guy. Three games against City, three wins.
Yeah.
And sort of like in different ways as well. Like.
But what didn't Arteta pick up two wins over City last season
as well?
You wouldn't call him tactically. But I'm just saying you would be the last to call him tactically astute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. But I mean, in just a short amount of time, what I've seen from Tuchel is, like you said, defence wins your championship. So far, they've conceded the least amount of goals. And on top of that as well, like they've got a lot of
Liverpool's only lost one.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Liverpool, I think, are the most impressive so far because of the way.
I'd rather win a game 4-3 than draw it 0-0.
Yeah.
Right. To be honest, I said it. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm 90% sure. I had Chelsea finishing third, and I had Liverpool second and Man City first. Which I think that's what will happen. I just think Chelsea, they are still a very young team as well. I actually think next season will be their season.
I don't know about that.
Thiago Silva's very young at 37, yeah?
You've got Jorginho, Reece James, all these youngsters.
Obviously they've got quality academy.
They're 23.
I wouldn't say they're young at all. You got Rudiger, Thiago, Lukaku, Kante, Jorginho, Kovacic. Not really young teams yet.
Mendy.
I think they're all a decent amount. They're all,
Christensen.
Galonzo.
They're all...
Yeah, as Philip Quetta,
next season.
The point is dying in front of you. Yeah.
Next season will be their season, I think.
Let's do West Ham a service though and cover this game.
Like, I know we've said it before, but David Moyes deserves a lot of credit for. If you think about it, yeah, from the debacle that was Man United to going to Real Sociedad to
Sunderland.
And
he went to West Ham first time, Ryan, and it was a shambles
them.
There.
But he saved them from relegation.
He saved them from relegation, but they shouldn't have been anywhere near
it. Can I ask, when was David Moyes reappointed again? Was it the same time around Arteta? I hate to bring him up, but just an example of the progression.
Because they had Pellegrini, didn't they?
You can see they're just so solid. Like, they work as a team. Like, top manager. Anyway, continue.
No, and they can bat. They had Zuma come off after, 25 minutes, which would have been a big blow. But
they already lost Ogbonna this season.
They already lost Ogbonna for, I think, the full season, or if not the majority of it. And they still continue to play the same way. You know, I can't remember who came in for him, but at the start of the game, David Moyes kind of must have sat back and thought we're going to match him up. It might have been Diop, but David Moyes, who doesn't typically go three at the back, went three at the back for this one, matched Chelsea up. And it's worked. It was a good performance from West Ham. And
what I like about David Moyes is that he gets the most out of every single player.
Yeah.
So look at Antonio. What he's doing, his performances, it's like he's not scoring a lot. Like, his goals are dried up.
But he's
involved
in everything.
He's still 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 performances. And the fact that every single centre-back he matches up against, he knows he can give him a hard game. And then you've got guys like Bowen playing out there, like, at his absolute maximum level. Fornals. Who was it? Was it against... I think it was against Brighton. Fornals did, it was a volley with his left foot, smashed against the bar. And I was just like, Fornals usually, like, when he was playing under the previous manager, I just thought, this guy just falls about all the time. He's a bit useless. And he's a really hard-working winger. But then now you're getting end product from him as well. It just goes to show what a manager can do with coaching. And you just know he's a really good coach and good man manager.
Yeah.
And I think he deserves a lot of credit as well.
And I think he was hard done by everything that happened and then got attached to him in the Man United debacle. But
yeah,
what he's done at West Ham is nothing short of amazing.
And, you know what? Like, I feel I probably should retract my statement saying, oh, you know, they won't get top four, because the way they're going, like we've already said, they've beaten top teams.
Mm.
And I actually thought they were going to go through a little wobble because they lost to Wolves, didn't they? And
yeah. I was actually going to say, the only disappointing thing for West Ham currently is that they've beaten Liverpool and Chelsea, but they've actually dropped points against, you know, in games.
They drew against Brighton. Yeah, they did lose to Man City as well.
They'd have more hope in picking up points from. And if they had picked up points in Wolves, for example, Brighton,
but they wouldn't be far off. They are currently better than the rest. Like they deserve to be in that fourth spot.
The more
you watch them, the more you can see like their players are so confident. Mm. Every player knows their
position. It's funny because I feel like a lot of other fans, like Spurs fans included, will say, because obviously, yeah, rivalry or whatever, they'll say, oh yeah, but look at West Ham's team, it's not that good, but they've got a good manager. But I actually think their team is good. Yeah. Like they've got such ballers in that team.
And the more you win, the more your players will be seen as good. Like, you know, you won't just say our team isn't as good or the quality in their squad. Mm. And they got to contend with Europa League as well. So
And I think
they're through with a game to spare.
So I think one thing that tends to happen with football fans is like you look at the quality, for example, like Liverpool, Man City, and then you tend to judge everyone else by the same thing.
True, yeah.
But if you're looking at the first 11 of the rest of those teams,
they're getting to Spurs right now. I'm telling
you, they're probably the best first 11 of the rest.
Yeah.
Not counting Man United, because Man United obviously have so much so much money on that team. But
well, the million-dollar question then. Is it sustainable? Are they going to be in this race come, you know, 30 games and there's only 8 games to go? Where do we envisage
their
West
downfall
Ham?
Was they didn't do too many signings in the summer.
Yeah.
Because when you contend with Europa League, I feel like, especially come May, well, not May, March, April, where you've got loads of games, you've got FA Cup. I don't know if they'll get far in the FA Cup, but where you've got FA Cup, you've got games mounting up in the league, and then you've got Europa League. If you get that far, I don't know. I don't know if it's
especially now as well, because there's going to be a ridiculous amount of games in this next couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, exactly. Christmas period tends to make or break seasons.
But yeah, the thing is, they're contending with a few injuries now. So both their starting centre backs are injured because Cresswell got injured against Man City, and then I think
Ben Johnson was filling in essentially for Cresswell. So they ended up playing Soufal at left wing back for parts of that game. And
well, they did bring on Masuaku, who scored the winner.
And he brought on Masuaku, Soufal went over to the right. Yeah.
Has Declan Rice been injured yet for West Ham? I think
I don't think he's been injured in like 4 seasons or so.
But he's been fantastic. Like, at the base of that West Ham midfield, he's just been.
But that's what I'm saying. I think an injury to him will be costly for them.
But that's the thing, like with any team, really, if your best player gets injured, then you're really at a risk, aren't you? And it's something you can't really legislate for. So, for example, obviously, touch wood. If, for example, Salah got injured, then you know that would drastically alter Liverpool's season. So it's something you can't really say, oh, why didn't Klopp go get the second best player in the world right now?
It's so true.
Because, sport is a gamble. And I think Liverpool will attest to that. Like, last season, they gambled in not bringing in an extra centre-back, and it failed. So this past summer, they went and reinforced centre-back to make sure that it's no longer a gamble, that if your players do get injured. So West Ham might be gambling with the fact that, you know, we can keep the majority of this 11 fit and it will take us as far as we can go or as far as we want to go, but we don't have the funds to reinvest more to reinsure that.
The interesting thing for West Ham now is obviously they've had the Czech guy come in and buy a 49% stake, they're not going to be strapped for cash. They're really in a position where they can build from strength to strength. Now, if they do it right, they can really push on from here if they invest correctly. One thing I do want to see from West Ham, obviously aside from Ben Johnson, because he's kind of proof of what I'm saying, but I do want to see, and Declan Rice, but he was signed from Chelsea as a young player. I just wanted maybe a little bit more of that youth progression for West Ham, as well as the key signings which they're making.
That was kind of like West Ham's thing back in the day.
Exactly, that's what I mean. It's just that kind of West Ham feel in terms of bringing through the youngsters, because they used to do that so well.
Yeah.
But back onto the game, I'm going to bring it back onto the game. What a finish that was from Jarrod Bowen, by the way.
Oh my God.
He's a baller, man. I'm
going to be brutally honest. This is why people are in these jobs and not me. We were linked with Jarrod Bowen about a year ago. And not that I thought he was a bad player, I kind of just brushed my nose up at it and thought...
We just thought he was a championship player.
And you know, I've been proved wrong. This guy has come out and he'd be more than capable of coming in at a top team like Liverpool, City, Chelsea and playing that role of playing when other players need a rest or playing, like just starting like 25, 30 games a season in a 60-game season. More than capable of doing that for a top club. I fully rate Jared Bowen.
But that's why like these these people get paid so much money. Look at Andy Robertson, was playing for Hull in the Championship, came up in the Premier League.
Tierney as well.
Who would have seen him?
Mahrez.
Yeah, who would have seen him win the Champions League? Mahrez, Kante.
No, but I mean, just like even then, guys who are playing for lower league, lower lesser levels, Premier League clubs, and
look
stepping
at
up.
Ivan
like
Tony.
For example, Jota. Bowen and Jota are in the same boat. You know,
yeah.
It's the same thing. Like Jota could, if Bowen, there's no reason to say he can't step up at a bigger club. You know, at like a bigger name club, but with more money. So,
and that was like that's what Brentford do. They don't tend to spend a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They get players who.
It's interesting with Brentford though, because they don't have a single academy age group. It's all just
focused on the first team,
and it's obviously it's worked for them because they're out in the Prem. Yeah. Looks like they're on track to stay up. You know, it's close down there, but
I don't think that's a good long term strategy, because like you're just going to end up spending money all the time. If you can't get anyone,
what has worked well for them is they sign quite heavily on data.
Yeah.
And they will sign a player for 2-3 million, and that same player in 2 years will go for 20.
And that's
million.
What I mean. So like they do all the legwork behind the scenes, but then they sell high.
They sell high, definitely. But I mean, like it's always better to find someone for no money from your academy than pay 2-3 million. You know.
But you know, Brentford have adopted a specific strategy and it's working. So
they save money on the academy side where they don't have staff, they don't have to pay young players and all that kind of stuff. So they save money there. But back to West Ham.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
apply for a job at Brentford.
I'd love to work at Brentford.
Who knows? We might even be there right now. You never know.
Double signing from WTTL.
I haven't
told
his agent yet.
I'll be his assistant.
Let's get back on top. Definitely back onto the game. Third goal.
I'll
let that one play through.
You're banned from touching.
Third goal. We said that last week. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We know that. Third goal.
No, you don't want to talk about Mount's goal, your boy?
Yeah, because that was a screamer.
What a finish,
boy.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about Mount's goal, and then we'll go on to the third goal. It was more about...
Mount's got great technique, man. He can literally... Yeah. And his ball striking is so sick, bro. But that was like... I remember Van Persie scored a goal like that, where he volleyed it into the near post. It was so
against
sick.
Against Liverpool.
Yeah. But it was just like... that kind of finish is just so beautiful to watch, man. Yeah. With the inside of his foot, boom.
I just kind of wish that Mount would take it upon himself to do it more. I'm not saying like score volley every week, but I'm saying like...
be in those positions.
Yeah, be in those positions. Make those runs. Yeah. Take more shots. Like he...
Well, I think that's what he does. I think he does. I don't think he's shy about shooting.
No, I don't think he's shy, but what I want him to do is I want him to like... take the game upon himself and say, like, I'm going to decide this game.
I agree with... I think for a player of his quality, playing in a team of that quality, in the position that he plays, which, let's not forget, is kind of an inside 10 role, right behind the striker, he probably should be getting slightly more numbers in terms of goals, assists. But aside from that, he's a quality player and it was a great finish. Really good finish. And then you got the third goal, which is what I wanted to ask you. Was that... What are we saying? Are we saying
cross.
No. I know full well that was a cross. Are we saying Mendy's at fault for that, or are we saying it was so out of the blue that he just didn't have a chance to adapt? And
a bit of both, I'd say.
I think there was so much pace on the ball that it's just difficult to kind of because when you see the clip, the replay, Mendy takes a step. Once he takes that step, there's no way he's getting to it. So he manages to get a hand to it, but. There's so much pace on the ball that all he can do is palm it into his own net. But no one can foresee, like, Masuaku shooting from there.
Yeah,
he didn't even foresee himself shooting from there, literally.
So you don't think he could have done a little bit better?
Yeah, I do think Mendy could have done better because it came from a distance.
And it was at his near post as well. So obviously you can say that the goalkeeper can do better, but I think it's that thing, it's that risk that goalkeepers do where they, like, predict where the ball's going to go. So he took a step thinking that the ball's going to go there and it's come the other way.
Yeah. It's really important for Chelsea now. It's the same with Liverpool and City. You have to bounce back with a win. After a loss like that, you you just have to.
This title race is so mad that literally, if you crazy. Slip up,
one game,
you go from first to third.
You got crazy. If Chelsea lost this weekend, which I don't think they will, I think they got Leeds at home, so they got Leeds at Stamford Bridge.
I don't know.
If they did lose that, and Liverpool got Villa at home, City have got whoever they've got.
Liverpool got Villa at home.
Yeah.
Gerrard, yeah.
Oh,
and the worst thing about that though is that it's 3 o'clock on Saturday, so it's not live on TV, which is a shame.
So stupid, man.
So stupid. Obviously, it was scheduled before. But the point that I was making is that let's say Liverpool City pick up 3 points this weekend and Chelsea don't bounce back with a win. You know, that gap's suddenly just out of nowhere, 4 points.
Yeah.
But Chelsea, I think all three will win, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think Chelsea will go out there and not take the 3 points on Saturday. They've got to go out there and they've got to react.
This title race. We had three league leaders at the weekend.
In one day.
Well, I'm saying it now. It's not Chelsea for me.
This girl's so flip-flop, man. You said everyone's going to win this league in the last 4 weeks, yeah?
No.
You said Man City, then Liverpool, then Chelsea, then Liverpool, then Chelsea again. Now West Ham are going to win the league, yeah?
We're going to finish third, so...
Yeah, but you've changed your mind 3 times in the last month.
Chelsea were going to win the league.
And you said Liverpool as well. And you said Man City as well. And now you're probably going to say West Ham. And you'll probably say, oh, Conte.
Definitely not Spurs. Are you joking?
All right, let's move on. We spent ages on this game.
All right. The next game was Newcastle versus Burnley.
Wow, Newcastle won a game.
Oh. No, my friend, I took the mick out of him. Because before the weekend, he was asking me who he should bet on, yeah? So the four games he wanted to bet on was the West Ham game, the Liverpool game, the Newcastle game, and the... Villa game. And I told him that he goes, oh, Burnley haven't won. Newcastle haven't won a game this season. I'm going to bet on Burnley. I said, I think you should bet on Newcastle. Like,
yeah.
They're due a win. And then it goes and happens.
Oh, should have listened.
No, he bet on Burnley. And I was just like,
that's his fault, isn't it?
Damn.
But like, I could just feel it. It was like, it was coming. Because like, I feel like, even though you were taking the piss out of me in terms of like, when I said the new manager bounce, I did see improvements from, on like Newcastle's play from when they were under Steve Bruce. I did see it. Obviously, it's not the best because Newcastle are a shambles, but I did see some things like he was trying to shore them up defensively, trying to get the balance between attack, because we know that Newcastle's not typically an attacking team, but they were getting more chances. So...
Mm.
I think in my mind I was like, they're due to win. Yeah, Burnley is probably the best team.
We said it, what, 2 weeks ago or a week ago even, that if you're a team and you've got players of the quality of Callum Wilson and Saint-Maximin up top who get into what 60-70% of the teams in the league, they get into that starting 11, 50%, however way you look at it, you're always going to have a chance of staying up. So they've got that W now. They're level on points with Norwich and Burnley, funnily enough, on 10 points. And they've just got themselves back in the mixer, and who knows what's going to happen for me. I honestly think that relegation battle will be almost as exciting. It won't be as exciting, but it'll be almost as exciting as that title race.
I worry for them because I'm just looking at their next 3 games. They've got Leicester, then they've got Liverpool, then they've got City, then they've got United.
Sounds like 12 points to me.
That is...
I mean, listen, everyone has to play everyone in this league, and you never know... In any given day, like what can happen? Because football, you can't really predict football.
I can't see them getting any points against Liverpool, City, or United.
The way Leicester are playing at the moment, they have to approach that Leicester game as the big one.
Are they home or away against Leicester?
They're away.
Yeah, they'll probably lose.
Like that. So if they get no points from those 4 games.
The likelihood is the teams around them are probably going to get no points.
And plus, like Christmas, like everyone thinks, like, oh, you know, you go into Christmas time and you play Boxing Day, you play. Whenever the 28th, and then you play the first. That's hard. Like, teams
like,
drop points.
Because we all support teams that, you know, are towards the upper end of the Premier
League, typically.
Whereas, we forget, like, a lot of these teams here, they're probably going to finish about 6 or 7 wins all season.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's what they're going to be, like, trying to stay up with as well. True. A lot of these teams, like, a draw away at a bigger team is massive for them. Like, we can't expect them to go through those games and think, they're all going to expect, all right, let's not get hammered in all of those games. You know, they're just their expectations, especially with Newcastle having just won. They're thinking, if we can get a point in one of those games, then we're happy. You know, So the expectations are a lot lower as well. But Newcastle, like, I mean, a win is what they needed to be into that fan. Those fans, you know, we always talk about the owners as well. Yeah. Someone was going to go into a Saudi prison if they didn't win a game too. So they had to win a game, and that's good they did.
And obviously, like, going into January is massive because we all know what Newcastle can now do in January. So
listen, they're not going to do much.
No, but
they're not.
I know what you keep saying, but
they can stretch.
But money talks.
Yeah, no, it does.
Especially with the teams around them, like Norwich are going to go into January. What are Norwich going to do?
That's true. That's
they're going to hope for a few point. Loans. Mm-hmm. But Newcastle could go out and spend 40 million on one player.
It will be interesting to see what they do in January. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, because Burnley don't have money to spend.
Oh, resting. Where Burnley, like 19th or 18th?
Yes. They are 18th. Yeah. They're all on 10 points.
Yeah.
Newcastle have drawn 7 games. I would piss on the grave of Burnley.
Newcastle have drawn 7 games this season.
Yeah, I know, but hopefully they keep them.
All right. Southampton versus Brighton.
This was an interesting game, you know, because those are two teams, like, when they play well, they're actually quite entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
They've got two good coaches, although, obviously, Southampton have, like, been slapped a couple of times in the last couple of seasons as well, like, embarrassingly. But I do actually like their coaches. Like, they're good at improving players. Shea Adams has actually been very good for them. Yeah. Like, he's been scoring a few goals, like, even for club and country. And they started up front with Shea Adams just off of Broja instead of Armstrong. And Broja, what he did to, was it Duffy, the one for the goal? That was ugly. That was not even, that was not PG. That was TV 14, bro. That was good. Yeah. And then I like Broja a lot because I mentioned him earlier in the season. Like, he's a good, he's like 6'4". Yep. He's mobile. He's good technically, and he's not afraid as well. So there were a few chances he had early in the first half where he was just going through and shooting, and he wasn't being clinical as well. But then obviously he took his chance very well as well.
And Chelsea rate him highly, you know.
Yeah, no, like, but I hope for him, for his sake.
Yeah, yes,
he stays at Southampton.
No, because the thing is, in the summer, clubs came in to buy him, and yeah, Chelsea were like, no. Yeah. And so he signed a new contract and went on loan to Southampton.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's probably going to go for a 20 to 30 mil, maybe. I think 30 plus, maybe, because Chelsea sell well and he's young. Mm. And he's probably, if he has a good season as well, especially, his price tag would be higher. Yeah. But I think the point I want to make about this game is that Mopé goal, if I was a Southampton fan, I'd be fuming at that. Because if you watch it was a set piece. In the 98th minute, they have a free kick.
Yeah.
For no reason, Ward-Prowse runs onto the line.
No. No, wait. Did you see what happened before?
What do you
Kyle
mean?
Kyle Walker-Peters is on the line.
Yeah, but then the thing
No. The goalkeeper goes, move, get out of the way, like, go.
Oh, what is he doing?
And then Ward-Prowse sees that and then goes on
see,
the
that's,
line.
See, that's the error. Ward-Prowse shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, 100%.
Ward-Prowse shouldn't have done that. Because I think nowadays, yeah, teams are defending set pieces and they're trying to be too clever about it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole nonsense about lying under the wall and all that stuff. Firstly, that must be... I get what they're trying to do, but that must be so... PSG made Messi do that, once.
I think it's on a rotor basis.
But yeah, you can't... No, but the thing is, yeah,
I would do that. I get
the understanding behind lying under the wall, but like this one specifically, that would piss me off because if a guy in the 98th minute curls it top bins, there's nothing you can do about it. That's your wall, and you jumped. Your wall is fine. Your wall is set. And he curls it to me. He can't do anything. But then what he tried to do, Ward-Prowse, be too clever, ran back on the line, and he played everyone onside. So what happens is if you're on the line, no one's offside. Maupay can literally stand right in front of the goalkeeper. So what happened was Moda, the midfielder, he shot into the wall. Then the ball comes back. He chips it into Maupay, who's in so much space, and he's onside as well. So he's got easy tapping.
Yeah. Did you see what Hasan was said about Alex McCarthy afterwards?
Oh no.
Because I don't know if you lot have seen that Southampton signed Willy Caballero on a short term.
Oh, deal. I didn't see
that. I think it's like 3 months.
Breaking
or
news with Mark.
This was yesterday or the day before.
They're just collecting goalkeepers who are shaking.
So essentially, Alex McCarthy tweaked his hamstring about 2 minutes before that free kick and thought he could play on till the end of the game. And he hasn't actually said. So Hasan Hoot was basically come out and said, look, I had one sub remaining. I tend to leave a sub towards the end of the game in case someone gets injured. And he said, I thought a lot more of Alex McCarthy because I thought in that moment he would have signaled to me that he's not, can't dive properly, and I would have replaced him with a reserve keeper with 2 minutes to go.
It was literally the 98th minute, man. So.
What do you mean?
But he got injured before.
You're saying it's literally the 98th minute, but they still conceded.
Yeah,
the
I know,
goal.
But I mean, like, the thing is that he's probably thinking, I don't have to move much. if we can defend this free kick.
I get that, but we've now discovered that his line of thinking was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, but it was an extraordinary circumstance. And the goal doesn't happen if Will Powers doesn't run on the line.
No, but he's still a fit goalkeeper might have dived and saved it. You don't know.
So Southampton are really in terms of keepers, they're in the shitter right now. They've got
Fraser Forster,
a 40-year-old keeper who hasn't played for about a year, who's going to have to step in literally for their next game because
I don't know why McCarthy keeps playing. He's always shaky. Like every single game I see him, I think,
that's the thing with Southampton. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but they haven't had that stable keeper since
Fraser Forster was last good. Since he was last good. They just not had a good goal. But yeah, I like Brighton, man, and I hope they keep doing well. Got a really good coach as well. And also, they midweek as well. You see, we were criticising their strikers, and Morpay's got 2-2 now.
Yeah, but...
quality goal against West Ham as well.
But they still haven't... They're not winning. They create so much chances, but they're not winning.
But I mean, in this game, I don't think... They were lucky, to be honest.
Yeah, no, Southampton had loads of chances.
Brozier. Yeah.
But let's move on to Liverpool versus Wolves.
Let's move on.
Liverpool dominated the game. Probably should have won it by so much more.
I do have to say, though, just before we get into, obviously, the main talking point of the game, Wolves impressed me. Wolves were good, both on and off the ball. Very quietly impressed by Wolves, and I can see why a lot of people are impressed with Wolves under the new manager and that style of play that they're adopting. Wolves, for me, gave us one of the biggest tests we've had in the league this season. And I don't say that lightly. They were really good. It was a intimidating atmosphere, tough place to play. Quite literally, they were putting their bodies on the line. They really wanted
it. Made it difficult.
Made it very difficult for us. So kudos to Wolves for that. And the last point I want to get across about Wolves is, you see Out Nouri? He will be at a top club within 2 years. That guy there, France under 21 international, he's got so much quality.
He put Salah in his pocket.
He had... minus the jokes, because you can't.
No, asking a serious
question. Minus the jokes, because you can't. Salah's been the best player in the league this season, so whether he had him in his pocket or not is another. It's not debatable, because I know you're going to Bernardo. I don't want to hear none of that.
I was going to say Bernardo Silva.
Well, then anything else you're going to say is void. Because they're the two are up there. Out Nouri, he was so good, and he had to come off injured in the 91st minute, and our winner in the 94th comes from Salah driving at Keanu Hoover, ex-Liverpool.
Wow, really?
That's some match fixing stuff there. He's an ex-Liverpool player.
Come on, for the final 3 minutes, you got a right back playing left wing back, and it kind of just... It was a shame for Wolves that Out Nouri had to go off injured. He really impressed me, and like I said, he will be at a top club, because he was the one on the pitch who I thought, this guy's got it.
What about that flipping goalkeeper, Mike? What on earth was he doing for Jota's chance? He came out and fouled his own player.
Yeah, but Jota should have done
that. That was Jota wrestling. He came out and did the Undertaker big boot.
The funny thing is that he was actually half decent throughout the game. I don't know, not actually questioning you on that vibe. I don't know if you watched the game, but he was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. With the simple and the basics of what you want your keeper to be good at, he kind of had on smash that day. Yes, for that Jota chance.
He should have just put a bottom corner, man. Yeah, I don't know why he smashed it.
I mean, Jota could have taken that. He potentially couldn't have even had the extra touches, because it was on there for him to take it with his left foot and just slide it in before he's even taken those touches, they've got a chance to get back onto the line. And if we hadn't scored the late winner, I'd be so much more frustrated about that situation than I am now. That was on his birthday as well. So. Yeah.
And against his former club.
Like,
it had the whole side of the goal open as well.
So how did you feel like watching that, Mark? Did you feel confident that you was going to get this one?
The longer it stayed 0-0, the more inclined I was to think, actually, this is going to end 0-0. So when it hit 80th minute or so, I mean, I had flashbacks of a couple of years ago when we would bag late winner after late winner after late winner. And don't get me wrong, I had faith. But like I said, Wolves were really impressing me, and I was just thinking, we might not actually get that last chance, you know.
I saw a tweet. Someone said, Origi will score 6 goals in the season, but boy, you'll remember them.
It's true. Legend.
Klopp came out and said Liverpool legend.
He is. You've got to think about some of the goals he scored. The double against Barca, Champions League final.
How many people for Liverpool have scored in the Champions League final? So, of course, it's a legend.
No, but I want. Just reminded myself of something that Klopp said in his post-match interview. You probably saw this. I just wanted to get your opinion on it. He said that Origi's one of the best finishers he's ever seen, and that if he had a different manager who would play him, he'd do really well.
I think he's an amazing super sub, and he's that guy. Like,
no, I tell you what, I think that is. I think that's buying into a lazy narrative.
No, no, no. Listen, what I'm saying. I think as a backup striker, he's probably the perfect option. But there's a reason why he's not starting, is he? So
no, well, that reason is because he's behind the arguably the most formidable front three in world football for the past 4 years.
So why is Firmino? Well, why Jota came in and he's replaced Firmino? So why didn't Origi replace him?
Because Origi, I think Jota had a certain characteristics that actually fitted our attack a little bit more. Origi's probably not the type of guy who could lead the life of Liverpool in terms of the way he plays, correct, which is why he's better for us as a sub. But he could go to a number of teams in the Premier League and be their main man. No,
yeah,
doubt
he can do,
that.
But yeah. I can't see him score more than 13, 14 goals.
Well, who does? I don't know. Not many people do, though. Yeah, not many people do score then, more than 13 or 14 in a
league. But we've not seen him get a good run of games, I feel like.
Yeah,
we're matching him against players like, for example, a Danny Ings or an Ollie Watkins will go and get you 12 or 13 in a league season. You wouldn't say that's disappointing.
I think they're better than him. I think he's
a
great backup.
Listen, I'm not comparing. I'm just saying in terms of getting goals, they'll get. I fully believe he would get similar to those two. I've just plucked those two out. I don't know why it was those two in particular.
Is he a player that likes to come off the bench, or does
I don't think any player likes coming off the bench.
I think Origi.
Does he want to leave Liverpool? Because I don't.
But he does. So he turned down Wolves last summer I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to leave Liverpool and leave one of the top clubs, ideally you'd want it to be for another top club.
Yeah.
No one wants to take a step down. Let's be honest.
That's true.
But the time will come. He's still young. He's only 26 still. That's the time will come where he makes that step over to a decent-ish club and he'll do well, 100%.
So I was going to ask you, well, I'll answer your question. I think Origi understands his role at Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to ask you, you mentioned Wolves. What team do you think would suit him or would be a good fit for him?
A team...
Lille.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, Neil. Okay. I think he'd stay in the Prem.
Yeah, I was going to say in the Prem.
A team where he can consistently get in behind and his midfielders will find him. And the thing with Divock Origi is that...
Down.
Well, the thing with Divock Origi is that that's not just his game. He can hold the ball up, as you've just quoted.
It's a lot of caveats.
He's a great finisher.
So, Brighton. Brighton create a lot of chances.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's do you want to take that much of a step down?
No.
You don't think Arsenal?
No, that's too much of a step down.
Yeah, exactly.
But in terms of the actual winner, because I wanted to point this out. Abdi, stop running jokes, man.
Stop it.
I can run jokes in the next game if you really want.
It's true.
The next game is Watford versus City.
Or the game after that. The last game, actually, because you were the last game of the weekend. God, saving the best till last. All right, after you started it, that's all I'm saying. The listeners have just listened to this 40 minutes. Let me just chat about the last goal because the only goal. the goal in the last minute. Because that all came from Virgil van Dijk. The long diagonal ball, which he's the best at. Precision, Mo Salah's first touch was unbelievable.
That's disgusting.
And then to have the awareness to chop it back, one touch for
Origi. Quality, man.
It was the fact that it happened in the 94th minute made it even sweeter. But the quality of that goal, when the pressure was really on, you know, the ref's blowing up in a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pleased me the most. I screamed for that
you must
goal
have been mad.
More than I've screamed for a goal this season.
What's it like having reliable players?
Okay, we'll move on. I'd love to know what that's like.
Speaking of reliable players, Watford played Man City.
Do you know who's reliable in that game? Danny Rose. He's reliable in the fact that he's going to show you why there needs to be like a minute silence for his career.
I was going to talk about Bernardo Silva, but I see where you're
so
at.
No, that guy's career finished 3 years ago,
he's done.
If I haven't seen it, I think he must have come onto the pitch with Zimmer for him. I probably haven't seen it, bro. How is he still
footballer?
The funny
thing is that Ranieri come in and dropped him straight away.
Yeah, he's like, nah. And then his left back got injured, isn't it?
So initially, midway through the last game, he's back at square one.
Piece of lard, bro. He's so bad. Like, what was he doing for that first goal? But I think Sterling probably could have sprinted from his own penalty area and got there before him, bro. When Foden crossed it in and he headed it in unmarked. And then the second Bernardo goal, I think it is. I've seen a lot of bold strategies when it comes to defending, but defending Bernardo Silva when you're not looking is the boldest. If you're back to him, is a different thing, bro. So
Bernardo Silva had so much time. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right, Tanya. He's on fire.
This is a guy that wanted to leave.
In form. He wanted to leave.
I bet you right now, Pep is counting himself very lucky. He's very thankful that didn't happen.
Yeah. Because he's willing to let him leave as well, isn't it?
That's yeah. Crazy. He was like, It was going to happen. Yeah. I think Atletico was the strongest rumor of them all.
He said no to Arsenal. With Arsenal as well.
Yeah, he said no to us. Yeah,
and now he's been his best player by far this season.
It was interesting the way City played because it was the first time I've seen Grealish play number 10.
And I forgot about Grealish. Honestly, I forgot about.
I got something to say that actually I think will make you happy.
What's that?
There's a case to say, right, that City. I tell me if I'm being crazy here. There is a case to say that City are playing better football without KDB.
It's true. I said that last season as well. If you think about it, them your usual midfield three for most of last season was Rodri at the base, Bernardo playing centre mid as an advanced eight, and Gundogan, and he was scoring loads of goals. It was when Kevin De Bruyne came back in that it was getting a bit more shaky for them. And you got in the front three, there's obviously you got like a lot of players who aren't really wingers or strikers playing.
Yeah.
So where does he fit back into his team? Like, and the fluidity as well. Because I was trying to see, I was like, is Grealish playing 10? And then there was times that Foden was coming out into 10. Grealish was going to the left. Sterling was moving about right, left. And it was very fluid with those front three. Foden, Sterling, Grealish, Bernardo.
It's true.
And I was just like, where does Seb Larsson fit in? It just doesn't make sense to me.
You had to get that one in. You've got to say as well, credit to Raheem Sterling for forcing his way back into the team. Now, I know it kind of came... He got his place back in the team through injuries, but actually what he's done with his performances since then is keep his place in the team. So credit to him for
that.
You can
be brought in because of injuries, but you've got to keep your place.
I think he's the best option.
They've got like 24 wingers, so like...
For a false nine, I think he's the best option. Like, because it's, like, I remember it specifically when it was against Liverpool in the 2-2 draw. Who was playing? It was De Bruyne who was playing false nine, and he stunk it out. And then... I was just like, De Bruyne, he likes to come to the ball and he wants to have the ball, like, you know, at his feet. So he's not good in terms of running and occupying the centre-backs. And when Sterling came on, that's when there was a little bit more hesitancy for Matip and Van Dijk to be pushing up a little bit more. So when you've got Sterling, someone who's great off the ball, he's always a goal threat. Obviously, he's not, you know, when he gets on the ball and he's dribbling, that's when he's most at his most vulnerable in terms of losing the ball. But when you've got a guy who's just... a threat, right? He can pull out right, left, and you know you've got some of the best passers in the league in that team. So you know he can just be a threat in the box. So, and you know his finish is a bit inconsistent, but you know he's definitely the frequency and chances he gets, you know he's going to score loads of goals.
I thought it was interesting. I saw Grealish more as a false nine.
Yeah, that's the fluidity of this game, isn't it? So it looked like,
and Grealish had a lot of chances. He was desperate to score.
Mm. Oh yeah, the goalkeeper was making. They should have been like 5-0 up in the first half. The goalkeeper, Watford goalkeeper, was making loads of saves.
Which goal was better, Bernardo's goal against Watford or Bernardo's goal against Villa?
No, that Villa goal was outrageous.
I'd have to say the Villa one.
It wasn't just the finish. It was the whole place, like the whole play, like the way they played it out of the back, and you know, bloody hell. Right wing Gabriel Jesus is a different guy, man. He's got 6 assists this season, you know.
I know.
Your boy.
That's where he originated as a winger, though, right? Or is that?
Yeah. He said that in his
presentation. Oh yeah, when he said, "Sometimes I play wing, sometimes I play up, sometimes I'm good." Nothing in his press conference.
I think City, the one disappointment City will take is just conceding that needless goal and not coming away from that game with a clean sheet.
The guy did well though, didn't he? Like, he came back off the post and then he went.
Of course, 100%. But I think when you're, I think that's what that is what will disappoint them the most by far. Just coming away having conceded a goal, and they were 3-0 up after 70 minutes, and
that would have been Edison's 100th clean sheet for Man City.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean that's an underrated aspect of Man City. You know, like when they went on that massive run last season, it's a lot of clean sheets as well. And also, you know, the season where you lot finished second to them by 1 point. Towards the end of the season, I think they conceded like 4 goals in the last 50
I'm pretty sure they won their final like 17 games 1-0, in a row or something like that.
Mate, when do they play Liverpool again? When do they play
you? It's already out. We've got, it'll probably be like February, March time
as
a guess.
Game that I'm looking
I think we got
to.
Chelsea before we got City.
Be interesting.
The next game, Leeds versus Brentford. It was a bit of
entertaining one.
Entertaining
it
one.
It was actually, yeah.
Yeah. I think any game that I get to watch Rafinha is a, like,
oh,
I just love
this
watching
guy. I need him at Spurs. I'm sorry. Or he needs to go to, he needs to go to a top club.
This will be his last season that needs to have had.
Honestly, how his much price do you think
his price
tag
is going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's so decisive on the ball. Like,
he's so good. Honestly.
I don't think he'll have that English tax, but I do think he will be 60 odd million. I really do. Ages on his side.
Take Bergwijn, please. We're trying to get rid of him. Bring Rafinha to the lane, please.
You're disrespectful.
To who? Bergwijn?
Well,
why should I respect
to
you,
to football. To swap Rafinha for Bergwijn.
Yeah, that's a bit peak, isn't it?
That's like having Ferrero Rocher and say, here, have my spit.
Oh my God. I thought you was gonna name some man. Some dead
think
chocolate.
Of life, yeah.
man said my spit.
I just
you could have said like what's that horrible one, the Turkish delight.
Bounty,
but yeah, Bounty's not that bad.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, don't hate on Bounty.
Turkish delight, like, I would have been with you on that one.
Because he don't like coconut, that's why.
Oh. Hate.
You're not a serious guy.
Nah, yeah, I wasn't ready for that. But
let's talk about chocolate rather than Bergwijn.
I love watching Rafinha play. He scored the decisive penalty in midweek against Palace, and then he got the two assists.
Ooh,
no, he didn't because it ricocheted off someone, but. He's involved.
Who
in
scored the first goal? I don't remember. Roberts. Yeah.
Rafinha assist.
Yeah.
But Rafinha, I love you.
With Rafinha, he's firmly worked his way in as a mainstay in the Brazilian squad. Where is he in terms of breaking into that 11 for Brazil?
I think it's close because he's older than the young ones coming in, like Anthony, who's at
Ajax,
and you've got Neres, who's also at Ajax. You've got
Vinicius
Jr. and Rodrigo at Real Madrid. So he's older than them. So, and he's probably better than what we're currently, like, we're playing with Richarlison out wide.
Gabby Jesus as well.
So I think he offers us so much.
And particularly that. I don't think any of the players, correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, Vinicius, etc., they're all right-footed, right?
No. Anthony's is similar to
the Salah. Well, so he's in the Brazilian squad.
No, he is. That's what I'm saying. He's worked himself into being a mainstay in that squad.
And he played both games over the last international break. What I want to see is the coach trust him more and just... Because I think the problem is that we don't have a good striker, but I'd like to see Neymar, Rafinha, and like a good striker up.
Oh, Vinicius has been amazing this season, so he has to play.
Who?
Vinicius. Vinicius?
Yeah.
Vinicius
Junior.
Yeah, why?
Junior looked at you like, what?
He was like, I don't compete unless they say Junior.
Yeah,
no. Oh, sorry, I was talking about Vinicius Senior.
I didn't know who you were talking about.
Did you see who was it? Was it his name Baptiste who scored for Brentford?
Yeah.
When he scored, yeah.
That was a good finish.
A Leeds player was in his way.
Yeah.
And he pushed him. Bruv, if that's me, I'm locking down the whole stadium.
Oh, that reminds me.
We're having a 22 man brawl, bruv, on the pitch. I will run after you and punch you in the face, bruv.
That was a good finish, though.
That reminds me of, not to bring it back to the Chelsea West Ham game, but I forgot to mention it. Anyone see Reece James try and put Lanzini off for the pen?
Oh, yeah, Lanzini went round
like Lanzini, when he was celebrating.
Lanzini just went up in my estimation.
No, give him a proper bump in the shoulder.
Yeah.
That's my Nkio vibes.
That would have been, that's what happened.
Lanzini was like resting piss, bro.
You love that saying.
But yeah, you do. But what a return for Patrick Bamford from injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves that.
Scoring in the 96th minute.
Mm. Yeah. That's two games they've got to go in the last minute. So
Big points for Leeds as well, because they're not exactly sitting comfy this season.
Did you see what Rafinha did? So they were saying stuff behind him when he took the corner. So he takes the corner and he turns around and he starts going, giving it this, the badge. He just goes crazy. Meanwhile, you see Bamford throwing his shirt on the other side of the pitch.
He looked like there was a still shot. He looked like a gazelle or something. Like, where he's a proper
it was
still,
posted on our
But they did get, Phillips got injured as well. So that's
how yeah, that's
oh, no.
How
is it a
but,
serious
but,
injury?
Oh,
well,
I don't know.
I'm not part of the Leeds medical staff.
But they got back.
I'll let you know once I get an update. Okay. After this scan.
This is not a serious podcast. They got Bamford and Ayling back as well. So
I think if they're going to have any success this season, then they need to keep. In terms of surviving, you need to have Bamford.
Survive.
You need to have Rafinha. You need to have Phillips. You need to have Ayling fit and Melier obviously as well. I think those are the most important players for them.
Mm. Yeah,
they won't go down though.
Because it's difficult just watching Daniel James running up and down the wing for no reason.
week in, week out, we have to mention Daniel James.
Like, yeah, I will until he's out of this Premier League.
Oh my God.
Next game up, Man United versus Palace. Ragnaroks, that's what people were calling him.
Is that what they called him?
Yeah, Ragnarok. Ragnik, or however you say his name. That was his first time in charge of Man United. They beat Arsenal in midweek, and so this was his first time taking charge and against Palace. And Mark raised an interesting point last week about Palace dropping a lot of points and just sliding down the league. It's another one against Man United. It was 0-0 for a long time, and then Fred out of the blue.
Fred has been amazing in the last four games.
Honestly, yeah, yes.
If you think about it, Villarreal game, he's the one who pressured the defender for Ronaldo's goal. Against Chelsea, very good. Yeah. Really good performance. For some reason, they gave McTominay man a match when he, you know, Fred was doing all his dirty work. got an assist and won the penalty against Arsenal.
Yeah, he was a bit up and down now. Tried to take De Gea out.
Yeah, he did that. But it means generally his performance was very good.
Yeah.
And in this game as well, like literally he was the only one really who was the spark really. I thought Man United, they generally were better. I have to admit, those fullbacks have been amazing recently, like Dalot and Telles. Mm. Yeah. Dalot in particular. I've always seen Dalot has potential in specifically attacking wise. He can be given a bad day, as we saw in like the Villarreal game and Atalanta game. He was a bit shocking. But I mean, obviously Mark's not a big fan of Wan-Bissaka, whereas Tanya is. And like Wan-Bissaka, he got injured, didn't he? So he didn't play against Arsenal. Dalot's been in there, got an assist this game, and he got an assist. Well, I mean, he was vital for one of the goals against Arsenal. So I've got to say,
there were rumours when Solskjaer was very close to the sack that a lot of squad members weren't happy with. You know, there were certain positions where Solskjaer would say, "I'm not changing this up," and one of those positions was fullback. Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw, if they were fit, they played. Mm. And what this shows now is actually Solskjaer should have taken a bit more of a risk. And
Didn't rotate enough.
But it's not even that. Like I say about Wan-Bissaka, you're going to get a decent defensive display. Again, I still think his defensive aspects are overrated, other than his 1v1
All of his defensive highlights are against Sterling.
But you see what Dalot's offering United, both attacking-wise and defensively. Where was that chance? And that's part of the reason.
For Telles as well. I think Telles, like whenever he's played in Champions League, I thought he's been quite.
Of course, let's be honest. Luke Shaw this season
has been pants.
Yeah, he's not been good enough. So yeah.
I mean, the common thread here, no pun intended, is Ole.
Yeah, but Man United fans were going a bit overboard. Like, you would think it was the second coming of Fergie, bro. 1-0 against Palace, misses from a centimetre just before they scored the goal.
Literally, just before Ragnik is like this amazing manager.
What have been seen on there?
They're like, oh my God, we're passing through midfield now. Oh my God.
Man's come from Spartak Moscow. Like, no one's after him.
That's the thing. Mm. I'm not... Obviously, it's very early days, but... I don't know about this manager. I don't know.
No,
it's too early to question.
Especially after they won a game.
and with his history in the game, I don't think you can question him, but time will tell. It's a new league. It's a new experience for him. But what I will say, I sent this into the group chat, where United fans are starving. I saw a picture of... just United in formation. Someone took a still shot, right? They played 4-2. They played 4-2-2. Fred had a bit of license to roam, and someone took a screenshot and was like, "I'd be afraid if you were our rivals." It's like, bro, your players are just on the pitch in their positions.
I saw loads of tweets that saying, "Oh, I've never seen our team press this way." I'm like, bro, you're playing Palace, relax.
Isn't it? They've got a lot of work to do, but they've got a very easy run of fixtures. I think Mark shared it in the group.
They have.
So you have to say they're going to work their way back
up.
That
table. They've got loads of good, easy run of fixtures, and now Ronaldo's just going to be eating, isn't he?
In the buds.
What a great performance. He touched the ball twice. He tapped it in and scored the penalty.
Oh.
That's what
of a sudden, everyone in the stadium goes,
two touches. Thing,
well done.
Don't lie, you were suing.
Well done. £800,000 a week, two touches.
Aubameyang has two touches a game. Man doesn't put them in the back of the net.
Well done. That's a good one. I spotted Mark just there. Good point.
What are you doing? Jeez. What are you doing?
Oh, no, I like that.
Why are you slowly doing fade it out, man?
No. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just,
slowly fade that out. No,
no, no, no, no, no, no kahooting over here.
Right, okay, so I've got to press it again.
Yeah.
Right, how about you just don't press it? And we talk.
No, anyway.
Okay, the next game.
Can I just firstly say, what is wrong with Vieira and the fact that he just won't play... what is his name?
Elise.
Boys, he's quality, and every time he's played, he's actually got goals and assists.
Yeah, and one
but
thing that
Ayu keeps playing in the front three. I don't get it.
One thing that I've noticed as well is that he's, for some reason, like first half of this, what we've had so far in this season, Conor Gallagher was really one of Palace's main attacking threats. Mm. And actually, in the past month or 6 weeks, he's dropped him back.
Back, yeah, into centre mid, yeah.
And it's kind of like...
The good thing, though, is that they got Eze back now. He's fit again, so...
Yeah, well, they're going to...
I think that's
they're
why...
They're going to have a lot of options there, and it's going to have to be... You know, maybe Zaha up top, Eze on the right.
Well, Edouard maybe as well.
Edouard. Well, that's what I'm saying. They've got options now, and how he's going to play it, who knows?
I hope their form improves, man. I want to see Vieira do well, man.
Yeah. Oh, Millwall in the cup, though. That's a very spicy Palace Millwall. Is very interesting. Yeah.
I think it would be worse if it was West Ham Millwall. I think they'd have to get the armour.
Of course.
They have to get the military.
You're saying that as if it's like some unknown fact. Mm-hmm. That would have been...
The last time they played in the League Cup, Millwall fans were ripping the chairs out of the stadium.
Yeah, but Millwall fans are like that. I imagine they're at the flipping the food area, bro. They're all ripping burgers out of each other's mouth. Not give it to me. It's just like a bunch of dogs, bro. Oh.
Allegedly.
Sorry, the Millwall fan.
That was Mark Abdi. Yeah, if you're just a Millwall Abdi. Fan.
DMS will give you his address.
Correct.
The next game.
Can I just ask, on the topic of DMs, what are you saying? Have you received any support for DMs yet?
Nothing. I give up, bro.
No, not even Elijah. He made an appeal to Elijah and he has got nothing.
I'm not sad. I'm just disappointed. I thought you were my boy Elijah, but it's sorry.
All right. Finally, we can move on to Spurs versus Norwich.
Oh, is that the next one?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. No. It was a good win for us.
Yeah. No.
Norwich did dominate us in the early parts of the game. They had like a chance in the first half. I was a little bit worried. Lloris had to make a save, but brilliant goal from Lucas Moura. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Seen it.
The guy doesn't
absolute
do it enough.
Banger.
But what a belter of a goal that was! And
brilliant goal by who?
Lucas Moura.
Oh, okay. How do you feel about the junior?
You know, one goal a season.
Listen, I agree with Junior. He doesn't do it enough for me. He doesn't do it enough.
Thank you, Tanya.
But
well, he's done it in his last one game.
There you go.
So I think you got to give him. I think he got to give him credit.
But I actually think he's played really well this season.
So do you rate Walcott highly?
What's Walcott got to do with this at all? It's a game between Spurs and Norwich.
Lucas Moura does exactly what Walcott used to do.
Interesting.
So do you rate him highly?
Do I rate Lucas Moura highly?
No, Theo Walcott.
What's Theo Walcott got to do with him?
I've already explained.
Okay.
Anyway.
He scores about the same ratio of goals.
Can I ask you, Tanya, yeah? Would you still take Lucas Moura over Pepe? Would you take Pepe over Moura?
Pepe hasn't really been playing much this season.
Oh, come on, man.
Nah, I'd say you can't get away with that. You didn't even answer the question. This is a yes or
he,
a no.
He didn't answer my question.
Okay, I would take Moura, but I don't think there's much in it between them two. I think they're both very frustrating players and inconsistent, but I think they both have very good qualities.
I think Conte would kill Pepe on the training ground.
You think? I don't know.
If he's stop falling
Pepe,
over.
Yeah, Pepe can't even get in over Nketiah.
Lucas Moura does this all the time. Like, he'll run through blind alleys and not score goals. Like, he doesn't do it enough. He's very inconsistent for me. But on the game, we were much better in the second half because I don't actually think we're playing perfect. But second half, also, I have to say, Ben Davis, I tweeted it. I think he's come back, guys. Honestly.
Where
under
was
Conte,
he before?
Well,
it's like Jamie O'Hara when he says Spurs are back. Back from where?
No, honestly, Davis, he's just been incredible.
Where was he playing? On the left of a back three?
Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you're an average left back and they put you right. Mate, left side centre back. You can actually be quite good.
He played a part in the third goal. Yeah. Passed it over to Son.
1-2.
Yeah, lovely.
And then,
didn't he score against Brentford?
Yeah, he did. So
wait,
he's in a good form.
Goal?
Oh yeah, it was an
own
goal.
Was
a given we'll give it to him though. No. Sanchez scored a goal. I mean,
Norwich have some shame, bro.
Do you see that celebration?
It was a bad celebration. Eric Dier
went to me because don't touch me, bro.
But I do want to give as well Oliver Skipp some credit. You've criticised him on this podcast before. I honestly think he's a very good young up and coming English talent, and I think he will at Conte, some point.
Conte gave him a backhanded compliment. Go on, continue.
You never let me speak. Every time we speak about Spurs, you never let me speak.
Go on, sorry, go on, speak.
I honestly think he will start for England at some point in the future. I think he's quality, and I think having Conte as manager is perfect for him. And I also think he'll be a captain as well. He's played absolutely brilliant.
Are you going to let her get away with that?
Yeah, what?
She said she thinks Skip could start for England.
No, no. At some point.
No, no, sorry.
No, he will.
You don't have the facility for that, big man.
No, he definitely does.
Conte said to him, yeah, he was like, he'll be better if he passes straight and he runs and he does any.
No, he needs to improve, but I think.
Bear everything in his life. Go on.
Do you know how to forget
it?
Honestly.
You finish your point, and when I start speaking, you jump, you go, I'm not letting me speak.
It was a good win for Spurs. There's still a lot of improvements that we need to make. I still don't want to get too carried away because we've played Norwich, we've played Brentford, these are teams we should be beating. But I do think we're playing a lot better under Conte. We've only conceded one goal in four games, which is good, promising, considering Romero's out. I'm just worried about this COVID outbreak that we've got at the moment. Six players, first team players out, and we've got a big game on Thursday against Rennes. If we lose that game, we're out.
I
forgot
about that. If you...
Honestly,
Abdi, maybe Abdi. I know you'll both feast, but Abdi will feast, right? If you enter this competition for the first time in history, the BTEC competition, essentially,
I'd have to just come here wearing a bag. I honestly would. I don't think I could show my face, bro.
That'd be funny. She'll wear a bally, even though we know exactly what she's wearing.
Honestly, like.
No, but we won't see the shame on her face.
I won't be able to.
But you're at home, though. You're at home, though.
Yeah, but we've got our first, six first teamers are out. This is a big game. We have to win.
I wanted to ask you about.
Big game is an overstretch, man. It's the Europa Conference.
It is. We'll go out.
For a team that they haven't won a trophy in.
Don't get me wrong. I feel like the Conference League, for me, even if we win it, people will laugh. Like, it's not, it's kind of.
But you have
like,
to win it, though.
But
you
we
win
do it have with, to win it.
Even if Conte plays centre mid, then you should win. Because it's the Conference League. It's like.
Well, we could beat Cora, could we?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I completely disagree with all you guys. You can't come here and say the Conference League is a big game, bro.
No, but what I'm saying.
Big game.
What
this
I'm saying
game
is,
happens at 2 p.m. on a Thursday, bro.
If we win this competition and I celebrate, you man will laugh. You'll be like, really? Celebrate. You're celebrating
but
the
what
Conference
are you doing
league?
At 2 p.m. on a Thursday?
It's true, though.
It's true. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
No, listen. It's true. Training. Tanya, if you win the Carabao Cup, if you win the Europa Conference League and you celebrate, you're doing what you should do.
No, no, no. Yeah, the Carabao Cup is on a different level than the Conference League.
No, but what I'm saying
it's
true, is
I would rather win the Carabao Cup. I'm not
yeah, whatever. But if you win the Europa Conference League,
no, I'll celebrate.
You need to celebrate.
No, that's not a proper trophy.
Yes,
honestly, I think
what you not celebrate the Community Shield. Is
that's exactly the thing. Don't celebrate the Community Shield.
It's true. No, but I think once that gets down to the final eight, I honestly think the quality in that tournament will be of a decently high level.
Because apparently, as well,
decently high.
The Europa
the best
League
team in there is Tottenham.
Yeah, but the Europa League teams, like I think Napoli could drop.
People are going to drop down.
They'll drop down. Like it's not.
It's the same as the Champions League
Roma
third place in dropping.
Yeah,
to
Roma.
I can't.
It's the same as the Champions League.
I'm begging for Roma versus Spurs.
Oh, I'd love it.
Roma
box
versus
office.
Spurs.
Yeah. Box office. Office.
Marie, well, you have to qualify first.
Just
well,
yeah, that's true. Just quickly, Tanya, because. What have we got? One more game after this. Genuine question. Have
we got two?
Are you starting to see a stylistic change in the way you're playing, or is it too soon?
No, I think we are. We're definitely creating more chances, and that was something we weren't doing at all under Nuno. So I'm happy with that. I just think there are a lot of improvements quality wise in this team. I think January transfer window couldn't come quick enough. Would I still you, question us defensively.
You
midfield.
Say that though, but do you? Oh, you will invest. It would have been a promise of. It must. Have,
no,
even,
I'm
I don't think Conte would.
That.
I don't think Conte would have signed that dotted line if there wasn't
no,
funds.
I'm hearing
promised.
A lot that he's.
Levy would be like,
players.
I cross my fingers.
Listen, look. It remains to
is
be
that
seen.
Like Mitch, you thought.
Listen, we've got a top manager.
Yeah,
we've
you
got
do.
Co-boys.
He's a quality coach.
Oh my god!
It started.
I have to hold that one.
No, I can't take this guy, bro.
He's a quality coach. And he's doing really well. I mean, obviously, he was three easy games, really. So, like Leeds, Brentford, and Norwich. You should win those games all at home as well.
He did come in and say this is probably the biggest challenge of his whole career.
I love that. I love to hear that. We'll
see. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Villa versus Leicester.
But don't forget, like Junior said, you did lose to
Leicester. Listen, let's move on to Arsenal. I can't wait. I'm going to smoke you. I'm going to absolutely smoke you.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, Villa versus Leicester. Conta two goals.
I'll be honest, he was very lucky to get that first goal. He literally skimmed his stud.
But it touched him.
I'm not taking it away from him.
He's a Spurs fan. He should play for us.
Yeah, what, a Villa?
He's a Spurs fan.
Yeah, Quantel, yeah.
Oh, that's deep. I want him to come Arsenal.
No, he's not coming Arsenal, mate.
Go on, let's stay on the game. More tangents.
I thought it was a very good second half performance from Villa, improved from the first half. Thought Leicester dropped off massively from even like their attacking play. They were at Villa's throat and they were playing really well. And then all of a sudden, like the game we're going to talk about in a bit, they just dropped off. And then it was just kind of like inviting Villa to come at them. And
do we think that's a coaching issue then? Do you think Rodgers has to take some accountability for how Leicester
I think it's a confidence thing with Leicester because I think they've been defensively really bad. The commentator before the goal said, Villa have a corner. This is as good as a goal. And then they scored.
Literally did say that. And then they scored.
I was just like, they must be absolutely petrified of corners, of conceding a corner. So I think it's a confidence thing. I think they can't. They're in the game and they're like, we're going
to
lose.
It has to be. There's an element of it being culture. Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I really.
Yeah.
I like Brendan Rodgers, but to me it looks like he's just gone a bit stale over there.
The amount of goals they're leaking is ridiculous.
It's not sustainable.
Do you think he'll get sacked?
Like in the last three games, Watford conceded two goals against Watford, conceded two goals against Southampton, conceded two goals in this game as well, and they were leading as well. So they're just
I thought they were doing really well.
Well, I mean, their form has improved before this game. So
let's remember, if they lose to Napoli, they're out of the Europa League.
I thought they were doing really well in the Europa League.
Well, I mean, it's tight, isn't it? And they drew against Napoli as well in their previous game. So, I mean, it's too much of an up and down season. I was in this game. To be fair, I enjoyed this game. It was quite good. There was a lot of decent talent.
It was great.
There's a few really good young players on display in this game. Namely, every time I watch him, Jacob Ramsey just impresses me.
Oh, yeah, he's so good.
He's got a quality goal against Arsenal. He should have got a goal in this game as well. And what I like about him is he's really tough mentally because the guy doesn't care. Even if there's someone in a position where he could pass to them and guarantee a goal, he'll still go for goal. He's brave in when he's on the ball. He's always driving forward as well. The other player as well that really impressed me was for Leicester, Drewsbury Hall.
No more of this
KDB. It's KDH now, isn't it? Kiernan Drewsbury Hall. I do think one of the reasons early on when you were saying it's a confidence issue, I do think. Although I've had an agenda against him, but they're missing Tielemans quite a bit because Ndidi has just been a shambles this season. And I said previously, said before, like Ndidi is holding Tielemans' hands. It's the other way around this season as well because Ndidi's been poor for most of the season. But Drewsbury Hall came in, and it was like he was demanding the ball always, and he was trying to keep the ball high up. And he's playing against three midfielders who two of them are really good, McGinn and Douglas Luiz. And Nakamba since Gerrard's come in has been quality. Like he was fantastic in this game. So it was a tough task. But for him, what I like about Drewsbury Hall is that the fact that he's always trying to drive forward and receiving the ball in positions where he can get pressed. Mm.
And just quickly to add to that, he's not shy to get involved. Yeah. He won't shirk from a tackle.
Yeah.
That was the other side of his game that impressed me quite a lot, actually, is that he was really keen to get involved in the nitty-gritty. When the game was in the balance, he was fighting.
So someone like that though, McGinn, my God, McGinn is an absolute machine.
He's
bro.
An animal.
I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, why is McGinn playing at Aston Villa and McTominay plays for Man United? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So
sorry, Junior's just giving me
silence.
A charger.
So let's talk about a big incident in the game, which was Ramsey's disallowed goal. What do you guys make of it? Do you think it?
I thought it was just stood because he didn't have two hands on the ball. It was one hand. And I don't think he had
Is there
control.
A rule in place if you have one hand, it's a goal?
Well, growing up, I always thought it was two hands he had to have on the
ball.
Right. They read the rule out, but it was a bit complicated because...
Yeah, it's just literally... It's such a weird rule. So, technically, abiding by the laws of the game, that's a foul. But realistically, there's no chance that's a foul.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if I got that point across properly. Essentially, if the keeper's got a hand, a singular hand, it is now. It's all written up in the rule book. He's deemed, whether he's got his hand on the ball for 0.2 seconds or he's got his hand on the ball for 3 seconds, he's deemed to be in control of that. So technically, they were right to rule it out.
It's softer.
I'm of the opinion that it should have been a goal for Villa, but yeah. I think it's technically the ref got that right.
I think it's because Schmeichel was just on the ground
crying.
Yeah.
Because yeah, he didn't even get he was out here holding his ribs.
Yeah,
he didn't even touch your hand.
It reminded me so much of that one time that Suarez bit someone and didn't know where to claim that he was hurt, so he started limping. Then he held his gut, and then he held his mouth. Mouth was too much evidence. He's like, I've got to hold my arm now. He's just like, so
that's the best one. Like when he bit the guy and he started holding his teeth,
claiming something. So he's like, oh no, I can't. This is where I did the crime, innit? I was gonna move. So it's just like Schmeichel in the same. He didn't know where to hold. He was holding his ribs, and he was like, oh no, but it was my hand he kicked. Oh, let me. Yeah, it's just like. But I thought Villa deserved the win. Yeah, two goals from Konsa.
I was gonna say, what would you guys make of like Steven Gerrard's start as Villa manager?
Yeah. So what was that? Four games now. Only defeat was against City.
Three wins and four. Yeah.
Yeah.
And impressive. They were really good in the second half against City. So
yeah, they were.
I'm impressed. And I wanted to do
kind of tough teams. Really, like he hasn't been easy because then they had to play Brighton. Did they play Brighton? I can't remember.
Yeah, they played Brighton. Palace, maybe. Palace away, yeah. Man City, and now Leicester. So it's not been an easy start, is it? So
and he's come in and stamped his authority on that team. He's similar to how he set up at Rangers in the 4-3-3. Three centre mids are quite narrow. Three attackers will press. Fullbacks will get into the game a lot more than maybe previously at Villa. It's impressive to me that he's already kind of stamped in the way that he wants to play. That's my guy as well.
That's your goal, isn't it?
That's my footballing hero from young. He would be the player that I love.
Crazy little cutie.
I must say, quality performance from Ashley Young. Yeah. He stepped in, very good performance.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's not like, who's the other? Danny Rose, isn't it? You know, like Danny Rose is expired. Ashley Young's still got a thing.
You know, Ashley Young is, he's either 37 or very close to being 37. Yeah, and he's still out here. I think he come on against Palace and changed the game for Villa. And then filled in at left back.
Yeah,
and
Target got injured, so he's played.
Filled in at left back against
Leicester,
obviously, and just played as it was if Target wasn't even injured.
I think he must be third or fourth oldest player in the Premier League. Because I know Ben Foster's the oldest, and then he goes Thiago Silva. I think Fabianski's up there, and then Ashley Young.
Mm. Yeah, good signing from Villa in the end, though, it's turned out to be in terms of just having that player who's happy to fill in and can fill in.
Almost signed for Burnley.
7 out of 11 positions in the. Yeah, almost signed for Burnley. Yeah. Right. In fact, I think I announced it on this pod.
Yeah, you did.
I was
like,
did you not know Ashley Young signed for Burnley? That's how close he was to making that happen. But.
All right. We've come to the. Part of the podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week.
Are we actually going to shut up then?
That we can't run away from. Where to begin? So, it's the same thing that we've seen all season. Arsenal go 1-0 up and then try to defend for the rest of the game. The only difference is that...
I will leave if this guy doesn't stop smiling.
I'm not smiling about... Listen,
I could feel your smile.
I'm not a smile. Listen, let me just clarify. I'm not smiling about the result, nothing. It actually just made me laugh that Junior prepared.
Yeah,
that
was
that's why I was smirking.
Take the floor, because I didn't watch the game yesterday.
This guy's prepared, so...
Okay, the only difference is that we're not that good enough to invite pressure on us like we have been. Then we concede or go behind, and then we want to start playing, but it's too late. Against Palace, Partey scores an early goal. Then we defend for like 75 minutes until Palace went ahead. United, we dominated the first 20 minutes. We scored and then sat back and invited pressure. And
Aubameyang scored against Partey. Against Palace, by the way, not Partey.
Partey scored a header.
That was against Aston Villa.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Whatever. same thing last night. We were so negative. We didn't create chances. We have scored 9 goals from open play this season. That's half of our total.
Oh my God.
We averaged less than 50% possession for a ball playing side, averaging 1.2 goals this season for people who like stats, and compared to conceding 1.5. The majority of our goals are scored in the first half, and the majority of the goals conceded are in the second half, which illustrates the point that what I was saying before. Aaron Ramsdale is averaging 6.8 saves per game.
That is crazy. That's not healthy. Sustainable.
Yeah.
The club should have addressed the fact that we are going to lose Partey in Jan, and at this point, isn't really losing him because he's been horrific, but being left with Xhaka, who hasn't played for 2 months, he played the whole game yesterday, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Lacazette having a stinker.
2 days of training, yeah, Xhaka.
And look, it just goes
to show what he thinks of our midfield options.
Lacazette having a stinker stays on for 80 minutes. Yeah, Martinelli comes off injured, and he brings on Nketiah. who isn't even good enough and wants to stay.
Yeah, he wants to leave.
Pepe can't get a game and Aubameyang stays on the bench.
Till the 85th minute. Surprised me, that is.
And he took off Tierney as well and brought on... I'm sorry, I don't rate that guy, innit?
Yeah. No, that was the key decision in that game for me.
Because he was at fault
from the outside looking in, was taking Tierney off.
I'm coming.
Yeah, sorry.
So any of those guys are better than Nketiah anyway. So like... Pepe and Aubameyang.
Yeah, exactly.
He takes off Tierney, who hasn't played a lot of football, so it's understandable that Tierney was tired, but he brought on a chaotic defender in Tavares to defend the lead. It just doesn't make sense.
The black Kolasinac.
So that's Arteta's fault again. So all of this is like Arteta's fault. Because why hasn't Tierney at least had some minutes in previous games so that he can last the whole 90 minutes against Everton? Mm.
You can tell Junior was fuming.
I am tired of this negative tactics. He's too slow to react, and it is so painfully obvious. This guy might be a good coach. I said might be a good coach, but he's a terrible, terrible manager, and we won't progress under him. Arteta is out of his depth, and he's wasting both our times with his charade that he has going on.
You should get him Charlie in the booth.
The board needs to act fast and bring in a guy who can actually manage, because right now, we've got Michael Scott in charge. Like, it's actually banter. We rely on...
Is Michael Scott the office guy?
The office.
We rely on two 20-year-olds. Smith Rowe is our top scorer with 5 goals. And Smith Rowe and Saka are our top assistants.
And they're and Saka's been run through the ground,
with,
by the way.
With 2 assists. Mm. So at this point, I absolutely give up.
Yeah, and that's
but I asked you guys, what is it going to take for you to sack him? Because I just don't understand.
Hopefully, we lose more games.
If he was at City, Liverpool, even Spurs, he would not be manager. He would be sacked. Like, what is it going
to
take?
It's an easy job to have as an Arsenal manager, because you know they're going to give you more time than you are allowed.
But you're what, back to back 8th place finishes. Mm-hmm. He's been in the job for 2 years now, if I'm not mistaken.
Since December 2019, so coming up to 3 years.
Up to 3 years. Yeah. That's crazy. And my point was actually that I haven't seen much of progression yet.
No.
Style of play in terms of... I was going to say he's had 2 years to implement this. He's had 3 years to implement a style of play. That includes off the ball as well. I don't see an off the ball plan with Arsenal. What is it? Similar to Tanya, what is it that... Not as a fan, but what is it that's going to make the board sit up and say, actually?
In my opinion, that's a good question, because I honestly, I don't know. Because when we were in good form, Josh Kroenke's out here doing interviews like, oh, what a masterstroke it was me to have faith in Arteta and give him money. Mate, like Junior was reading out all those stats here. Let me break down our wins here this season. 7 wins this season in the league, yeah. 1-0 against Norwich, 20th place. 1-0 against Burnley, 18th place. 2-0 against Newcastle, 19th place. 1-0 against Watford, 17th place. That's all of the bottom four we won. 3-1 against Tottenham, sacked their manager. 3-1 against Aston Villa, sacked their manager.
Yeah.
And what's the other win? I think that's it.
You see when you lay it out on a table.
And Leicester, who are up and down in 11th place as well. The 2 draws we had, Palace, we were lucky to get a point in that game. Brighton, we should have been battered. And you look at the wins, the defeats, 6 defeats in the league this season, so almost as many wins we've had this season. Slapped against Man City, slapped against Chelsea, slapped against Liverpool. You go 1-0 up against Everton and Man United away, who were both in horrible form before we played them. Well, Man United sort of were a little bit better, but still. And then we sit back. Like Junior was saying, it's just a mentality thing. Arteta, what I hate the most about him, yeah, amongst many things, is that when he comes out in the press conference, he always says, he analyses it perfectly. I don't care. We can't play games in hindsight, you know. We're not going to get points in hindsight.
That's good.
You can't always come out in the press conferences and say, well, we weren't doing this, we weren't doing that. Like, literally, my friend, yeah, he watched the game. He texted me. He was telling me all the errors, all the issues. And I literally just saw the video of Arteta going, no pressure. Exactly what my friend was saying.
You know what? It's funny that you say that. I'll let you carry on straight away. Because I watched the interview after the game with Arteta, and I actually sat back and thought, you've nailed it.
Exactly. But it's clear that people keep saying, yeah, that this tactic to go 1-0 up and sit back is not what Arteta wants. But if he doesn't want it, then why can you never communicate it to your players? Mm. Why is it happening every single game? Like, even the wins I broke down as well. Against Villa, there was a period of the game where they could have come back in. Against Tottenham, same thing as well. Watford, we were a bit lucky. It happens all the time. Norwich, Burnley outshot us. Norwich, we were lucky as well. It's just, and it's happened for so long that we can't really deny, you know, that it's him. It's his team. All of this is his players. And we haven't improved as well.
150 million spent as well.
Net spend is higher than anyone in Europe. So I'm not accepting this nonsense. Like, it's all down on him. The players are underperforming. Like I mentioned earlier on about David Moyes, getting the best out of your players as well. Mm. Before David Moyes came in, I wouldn't have said I wanted almost any of those players, only a few, maybe Declan Rice, a few of those as well. And the fact that every single player who plays up front with Arsenal is completely useless. And on top of that, like, you see the declining players. Lacazette declined about a year ago. Aubameyang's declining badly. You just, as a forward at Arsenal, you're always going to be starved. You have to be the most of clinical player to really get any sort of, because you're going to get one or two chances a game. And the fact, and you know, it's hard to be that, to be someone who gets one chance a game and scores. You know, only the elite does that. So I just feel with, it's clear sign that it is this manager.
I just don't get as well. Like, how can you let Granit Xhaka walk into the team and play a full 90-minute game when you've had Lokonga, who I've actually been impressed with Lokonga every time he's played. He didn't bring on Pepe.
How stressed he is.
Like, I'm sorry. I spoke about Pepe before, but he's more likely to score than an Nketiah and an Aubameyang. I would have just bought on Aubameyang. That chance that Nketiah had, I was literally like, how
Aubameyang wouldn't have scored. Aubameyang
wouldn't even been in that position, man.
I think Aubameyang would have scored that.
He was in the same position against Newcastle and he missed.
But to be fair, he had a big chance as well, Aubameyang.
I forgot about that. Literally, the last kick of the game.
Yeah. I was like,
but it would have been daylight robbery because Everton, they had three goals.
Yeah, we didn't deserve it.
I mean, it would have been daylight robbery, but aside from the fact that it would have been daylight robbery, he has to be burying that.
Everton conceded 5 goals against Watford.
Mate, Everton,
they hadn't won since September. So if all I'm saying, Arsenal, they need to do an ad, like part of their next ad campaign is, if you haven't won and you're on a drought, come visit us, yeah? And we will help you out. We're confidence boosters.
You just need to sack it, man, because you can't even, like, look at Partey as well. Like, big man, your performances haven't even been 4 out of 10.
My performances have been 4 out of 10, and then the day after drops a 1 out of 10.
It's mad, like, but I think he was
averaging
them
out.
I think the
guy who's interviewing him, he go, big man. 4 is a stretch, you know.
4 is being nice.
I just think considering the expectations as well.
I don't think Arsenal will. I think they'll review it come the end of the season.
End of the season, Mark.
So you're talking to me like that doesn't affect me. I'm just saying that's how I feel. That's the route I feel Arsenal are going down. They're gonna, as you said, you got Josh Kroenke coming out and doing interviews when you've won 3 on the bounce.
Yeah.
You've lost a couple on the bounce. He's nowhere to be seen. They're not brave enough. Not brave enough to make that decision midway through the season. That's what I think of that.
We're
going to
finish 8th.
Let's give a little bit of praise to Damari Gray. Right, come in. 1.7 million. He's got 5 goals, 3 assists in the league.
What a goal.
In fact, for Richarlison's goal, the one that stood, so unlucky not to go in.
Oh, it came off the bar.
Now, you have to give Everton a lot of credit because they had 2 goals disallowed, right? So they literally had so many chances to get back into the game. Like, you'd think their confidence would be shattered. And that's why I was so surprised with Arsenal's approach. It's like you just let Everton get back into the game.
No, I think, do you know, the 2 offside goals egged Everton's fans.
The second one was harsh for me as
they
well.
They egged Everton's fans on and they got behind the team.
If you're not, I think if you're Arteta though, and you've just conceded 2 and they've both been disallowed, surely you're thinking, oh God, I need to freshen this up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's when he brought on Tavares.
Let's get some. Yeah, but for me, in that moment, it's not about, listen, if you want to rest Tierney, rest him with 10 minutes to go when the result maybe is a little bit more in the bag.
Exactly.
And get those fresh legs on in the centre of the park. You were getting overrun. And to make the change at left back at that point in the game where you needed to stay solid, was ridiculous, and I thought that when it happened,
he's out of his depth.
And then the subs from there on out.
What annoys me the most about Arteta is he doesn't seem like he takes responsibility. He just thinks everything the reason we drop points or we lose games is everything apart from him. When everything that happened that he blames, we weren't pressing enough, we sat back, we didn't have penetration, we didn't score enough goals. All of those are a result of you.
It's so similar to Jose at Spurs, honestly. Mate. It's literally carbon copy because I was experiencing the same thing. We'd score a goal, sit back, defend. The other team will get back into the game. And then Jose will come out and say, oh, the players, they're sitting back, da, da, da. It's exactly the same. You need to get rid of him, man.
But shout out to Everton and shout out Richarlison, who scored one of his 6 goals that he will get this
season. He does always score against Arsenal, though, doesn't he? annoying.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, Everton, on the topic of Everton, they needed that. Their fans are walking out protesting.
Can I just say, my guy
27 years since they won a trophy, but only 27 people actually...
My guy actually took the ball home. Richarlison.
That's shameless.
He had two goals disallowed.
As
a bit of a joke.
Is that a Brazilian trait?
No, he's not funny.
That is ridiculous.
He's not funny.
Can I just ask one question? Because I know we've got to wrap this up. If they were to sack Arteta, who do you honestly want as manager?
I'd wrap
Ten Hag
or Potter.
Ten Hag.
If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be screaming for Ten Hag.
Or Potter.
If Ten Hag wasn't attainable, you're right, I'd be going for someone like Graham Potter.
I feel like Ten Hag is in a position to go, how would I go there?
Yeah. Champions League football with Ajax. He's going to win that league comfortably every year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just think for Ten Hag if you can't get him Potter.
What they'll do is just go and bloody sign and give it to Eddie or something, bruv.
Who's Arteta's assistant? No, he'll probably get a job.
Yeah. The one who always wears the earpiece, bro. Yeah. I'm like, the only person you talk to is Arteta, bruv. Just listen to him. Take this off and listen to him, bruv.
There's
75
though.
Different backroom staff, bruv. Like, all of them have a different job. Hey, you carry the balls, you carry the towels.
Let's move on.
Vocal on the touchline. What is he actually? Our players are listening. All right,
you've got you're one of the 3 o'clock kickoffs this weekend. You've got Southampton at home. How are you feeling about that?
I'm gonna let the people know
it's on your birthday. Do you think your mood is gonna be ruined or enhanced?
If we lose, this guy would be the most unbearable human being.
That's the question. Either you lose and you'll be unbearable, or you win and your mood will be enhanced.
Even if you win, it doesn't make a difference.
No, but genuine question.
I can't see us winning.
You can't? No?
Really?
I think the team's in too much bad form. We play poorly. And Southampton.
You've got West Ham after that, isn't it? I swear.
I can see Shea Adams and Broja giving us a bad day.
Or even Armstrong hasn't scored in 8 games. He'll score.
It'll be interesting to see what team he picks. If he goes for Xhaka again and pays Tavares instead of Tierney.
Oh, by the way, just quickly, Ben White against a physical striker. I just know I've got my eyes on him. Wasn't good enough from him against Everton.
Right, didn't I say this first podcast of the season? He's been good. The only player I like so far in this team is Ramsdale.
Odegaard played well, though. I'll say that.
That's his first game in like 4 years. All right, can we move on?
Anyway, move on.
All right, so let's go for man of the week. Tanya, you're first.
Right, my man of the week. I thought long and hard about this. Well, I've been umming and ahhing, but it has to go to Demarai Gray for that goal against you, man. And like Mark said,
I played.
Very, very good piece of business for Everton. You know, 1 point, how much? Million?
7. Are you writing his biography?
I'm a big fan of him, innit? I wish we signed him. So yeah, I'm giving it to Demarai.
So far, that's three players that you've said. Konza, Rafinha, and now Demarai Gray.
Yeah.
Slighting for all of them. Go on, Mark.
Cheeky mare.
I was about to say. Man of the week, I'm giving to Bernardo Silva.
Hate you so much.
Quality player. Yeah. Best left-footed player in the Premier League. Best Portuguese player in the Premier League. Best player in the Premier League this season. Period.
Absolutely. I'm not letting you get away with that. I'm just letting you lot know he smirked as he said that. He's not. He doesn't believe that.
I did say best left-footed player, so I thought you knew I was taking a shot at you. So.
I did. If you listen to this back, you'll hear me kind of go...
But quality performance, 2 goals. And, you know, he sent Danny Rose in the early retirement.
He was already in retirement.
Yeah, so Abdi took.
He sent him job center, bro.
Abdi took the one that I was gonna say, but I'm gonna give mine to Jared Bowen for a fantastic performance against Chelsea and helping West Ham get the 3 points.
This is mad. I was last choice this week, but I got my first choice. So I'm gonna give it to Divock Origi this week.
Shocking! We're so surprised.
What are you saying? I can't. What?
He's four in a row, bro.
They literally win every week.
That's Salah, Trent, Jota, Divock.
Are you telling me none of them deserve to be nominated in that week?
I'm not saying.
I'm gonna be honest. My backup option, because I really thought one of you lot was gonna go with Origi. My backup option was Fred. So there was a bit of. Like, I'm not being biased towards Liverpool. If someone stole that, it would have been Fred. But it's Divock Origi for me.
It's easy to say when you're a backup option. I'm not biased.
Divock Origi for me. I mean, it was the Divock show, wasn't it? He came on, he produced the goods in the 94th minute. And it's just that time of the game is Divock time. And he's proved it once again. So, man of the week to Divock. Big match winning goal. Could prove very important come the end of the season.
Cool. Now we've got what do we need to talk about? And we're going to be a bit cheeky and sneak a third one in there because but we'll do it quickly. Okay. Who's worse, Ole or Arteta?
Arteta.
Arteta.
Ole.
Okay.
Really?
Ole ain't finishing eighth, is what I'm saying.
No. We got a question. Who was the scout that thought Nuno Tavares could play at a high level like the Premier League?
Matty.
Yeah, Abdi, I don't really rate Tavares at the moment. But I don't definitely Abdi. Early days.
I know.
He's such a chaotic defender. Like, you can't be chaotic and be a defender. Mm.
It's too early to write him off.
He's
definitely very hit and miss.
If I see him cutting in and shooting with his right foot from 30 yards again, I'll lose it.
That's the point.
I'm going to lose it.
Again, he didn't get one single... I think his pass percentage yesterday was 5%. Pass accuracy.
Oh my God.
Are you...
One
pass wait, hold correct. On. Are you... Is, what's this?
If he got one serious? Pass correct, then that's 100%, no?
Out of how many?
Oh, he attempted more.
Yes.
That's junior stat. Could you back up that stat?
Watch the game.
All right.
All right, and then... And then this is maybe one for all of us. Kane's goal scoring slump. Media isn't paying it any attention.
No, it's right.
Reason.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I forgot too. But is his performance is about?
No, he's in the game. Kane is always in the game. And he's getting quite easy chances. He's just not putting them away. I don't know if he's confident. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think when you think of Kane, you associate him with goals. So it is actually pretty worrying.
Less goals
if
than
you're
Conta.
A Spurs fan.
No, it's massively worrying.
Less goals than Conta.
Like, he had like such an easy chance in that game as well. Like, Fred has scored more than him. Like, it's actually mad. Like, he needs to score goals. I don't know.
So Konza for number 9 for England.
Divock Origi's got 2 in the league this season. He's played 40 minutes.
So what was the other one again?
Norwich, I think, on the opening day.
Oh, okay.
He's played like 40 minutes or something in the league this season. He's got 2 goals.
Mad.
Starts tonight though.
Can he get a British passport? All right. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Peace.
Peace out. Sports Social Podcast Network.